When the right people come together at the right moment, when they care almost as much about winning as they do about each other, they can become the best of the best.
Welcome to the best soccer show, the best soccer show in the whole world.
Here we go! It's the best soccer show. Jason Davis, Mr. Jared Dubois, live on a Sunday evening, working the gremlins out. All kinds of gremlins in the systems, Jared.
There's a gremlin in my throat.
Okay, that I don't need to know about. I mean, just be conscious of the rest of us.
Don't feed it after midnight.
Are you?
Man.
You're not wearing a mask, and we're all susceptible to catching what? I mean, that's
dude. This mic screen right now, I don't want to know what's in this thing. Like, I should just swab this if I want to take a test.
Do
right
you
now.
Ever wash your mic screen? Have you ever washed it?
I've never watched it once in the entire time. You can wash these things?
Absolutely. It's just like...
Nick's looking like he didn't know that either.
Oh, you absolutely can take it off and clean it. You don't think there's a lot of like...
But why would I?
Years of spittle and just like... Sometimes you probably have something in your teeth.
Flavor.
You like to eat on the bonus show. Anybody?
Oh,
I mean,
always.
I know I'm not really selling the bonus show right now, but you eat during the bonus show, and I imagine that there is like lettuce wrap detritus in your mic screen, and you don't take care of it at all. You don't ever like check
do you
it
think
out.
If I put $5 on the table right now, do you think you could spell detritus?
Yes, I think I could do that.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Do you want to keep your $5? You want
to
keep your $5?
No, because I don't know how to. I'd have to look it up. I ain't trying to look it up right now.
It's not a five-letter word, so it's not going to be part of Wordle coming up anytime soon.
Ooh,
so.
I saw you and I matched on just.
I think it was a pretty easy one today. I don't know.
Can we just real quick? Let's talk Wordle War for 1 second, okay?
It's a soccer show. It's a soccer.
All I want to talk about is one thing. I just want to talk about one thing, one aspect. All
right,
all
right, all right.
For those people that don't know, Wordle's the game that everyone's playing right now. It's five.
Yeah, we're gonna stop playing it like 2 weeks. Everybody's gonna be over it in 2 weeks. It's gonna happen.
All I want to know,
yeah,
and if Nick and Morgan are playing, they can tell us as well. What's your opener? Do you have the same opener every time? Because I use the same opener every time.
I bounce around a little bit. I try to work in at least three vowels. That's usually my move.
Three vowels. See,
so,
I go two vowels and I do three common consonants.
So T S.
Hopefully, I
T S and N or S L.
I actually don't get the T in there. I do dares. That's usually my one because it puts the S on the end. So likely, if the S is there, it's on the end.
D. Okay.
It also puts the E at the end. So if the E is there, the R is good. I've noticed by E R. So I usually get one to two letters off dares.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever been like zero.
What's your opener?
Radio's been my opener, which is kind of in the same vein, except there's no S. I end up with three.
But you are so on brand,
I know,
and you're
right?
Not even
I don't
on
even,
the mic.
Did
it's
you
ridiculous.
Know? Did you know that I have a radio show? Like, I'm not even sure that you were aware
good
of that.
Lord, okay. You even infecting Wordle.
WMBC.
I'm going to be traveling to lovely Kansas City, Missouri, for work.
I'm surprised your five-letter word isn't Davis.
And would it take that? That's a good point. Jason's also a five-letter word. I don't know if you knew that, too. Jared's a five-letter word, so you could throw that in there. Anyway, let's talk soccer. Okay, so this is what I figure. I figure we are doing our last regular Sunday night show before the roster drops for the U.S. Men's National Team. I would expect it to drop sometime at the end of this week, going into the week of the games, starting with Thursday against El Salvador in lovely Columbus, Ohio. So if we're going to make if we're going to do a roster projection show, this has to be it, right? This has to be the show when we talk out what we expect to see or what we want to see, because I don't know that I can remember a more confusing set of circumstances for how to pick a roster, right? If anybody who tells you, anybody that you listen to, anybody who writes out, this is absolutely the roster that Greg Berhalter should call up, they're lying to you. They don't know. Nobody. There are definitely some players who have to be there.
What percentage do you think you could get right? What percentage?
I mean, I think we could.
Don't make it. No, sorry. Don't say a percentage. Let's say it's a 26 roster.
Okay.
How many of those 23 do you think you, 26, do you think you and I can lock down tonight?
I think we would be close on 20, 22 of them. But there are some.
I feel we can get 20. I think we got 20 in us.
There's some spots where it's like. Okay, so, and we're going to get to it. We'll do it in position groups, and we'll go through this, and we definitely want some feedback, and I've got the phone lines open at 717-727-2378. That's the phone number. Patrick's saying questions at center back. Exactly, right? That might be the one spot where it's like, what are we doing there? Now there's two guys.
Yeah, center back. I think the right forward is going to be an issue. I guess it's probably going to be Aronson. Maybe it's not an issue. So I don't know.
Well, I mean that's okay, so forward issues with a couple of injuries and form issues. Again, guys getting
midfield locked.
The starting midfield is locked. Can you go too deep in all those midfield positions? And
can you go three games deep with that midfield? You know, like that's the bigger question. I think you can definitely. You've got two games of an amazing midfield there. The question is, will you play those three guys for three games in a row? And I don't know what the answer to that is.
So here's another thing. How many players? Our man JTT saying more than 26. This is why we spent an entire show last week.
Shadow Squad.
I just threw that together tonight. That's why we talked Shadow Squad for an hour last week, right? Because there is at least some consideration for not just the three games in the window.
No, okay. Okay, Steve Hidalgo, kick him out of the chat right now. Josh Sargent's goal guarantees he starts. Anyone claiming that goal.
Uh-huh. No. Yeah, right.
Is
yeah.
ludicrous.
Yeah, of course.
And listen, even me, as a Josh Sargent, like, all-time hater.
Oh, God,
I feel
you're
bad
the
for the guy right now.
Yeah,
I feel bad for the
you
guy
hate
right
Josh
now.
Sargent.
I want something good to happen
you
to
You hate
him.
Josh Sargent so much, it's almost like you hate the entire military because his name is Sargent. That's what it feels like to me.
I don't hate Josh
you hate
Sargent.
Him. You
I
hate
just
him.
Felt that he was one of the most overhyped players
you hate
of
the
this
guy.
Generation.
You've never given him a fair shot. You never considered him his circumstances.
He's never done anything
You've never believed in him at all. You've never sent him flowers or an encouraging letter, Jared. You've never done those things. That's a fact. That's a fact. You have to stand up in front of Congress and admit to those things because you've never done them. Never done
that. If all he has to do is convince me. You know how he convinced me? Score some goals that don't involve the other team doing it
okay,
for you.
Look, so there's a couple of things from that Norwich win. I mean, the main thing is Everton, what the hell? And I know Rafa lost his job because of that, right? You know, look, I'm not making the argument for Josh Sargent to start. But I will say that what's troubling, or Josh Sargent to even be in the team, but what's troubling is that you cannot get yourself to a place of being 100% positive that Josh Sargent shouldn't be in this group because the rest of the center forward pool hasn't separated themselves, right? Nobody's done that, or they're out of season.
That's also how poor Josh Sargent's been, is that despite not having a good forward pool, we're probably still not going to include him in this.
Okay, well, that's fair, too. That's a good point as well. He has every opportunity to work his way back in if he could just do a little bit more at Norwich, and he hasn't been able to do that. But then again, Norwich is terrible. Terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, aren't they the Canaries? You know how they put the canary in the coal mine to see if there's like gases that will kill you? Those canaries are dead.
Gas.
There's gases in those coal mines, right? Just just littered with dead canaries.
A sea of dead canaries.
That's so gross. Are you wading through dead canaries down there?
All right, so do you want to go through this thing?
Yeah,
right?
let's
what
do
you
this.
Do? You
let's
want to go through this?
Let's guide us here, Jerry. Let's just do this again.
A little bit of Marco Polo here.
We are. You haven't used that drop in forever. Do I even have it on the board? I think I put it back, right?
I don't know.
Marco.
Oh wow! Look, there it is.
Marco.
That's a throwback.
Marco. Marco.
By the way, there is this revisionist thing happening with Josh Sargent.
What's that?
Steve saying the guys at Scuffed have discussed Sargent's skill set looking better suited to be an eight. So there's this idea, and I've seen lots of the U.S. men's national team Twitter sphere arguing that Josh Sargent was misidentified. He was never really going to be a good forward. He should have been a midfielder. Let's move him. I don't want to do that.
Let's start a project.
Shout out to the guys at Scuff. They do great work. I know people love them. We're not going to spend any time on Josh Sargent changing his position because it doesn't matter for the national team right now, does it? Like you're not.
No. So he's going to go to a position we're deeper at?
Exactly. And if he can't work his way into the team at forward, I'm not going to waste my time wondering if he's going to knock out Gianluca Busio or Tanner Tessman now, who's getting starts for Venezia. So I don't know. Anyway, let's go through this. We're settling on 26, but it's possible it could be bigger.
So I've put an initial 26 together. We'll see where we agree, where we disagree. We got a couple of people lying on the outside. And once again, we should identify first of all,
okay,
Jason.
You know what? I'm sorry. I do have to break in here and fire up the
is that JTT?
OMFBG13, it's JTT!
Not only is he lurking in the chat and telling us things about the size of the roster, he wants to be here to talk about Josh Sargent, your favorite American striker.
How dare you say he lurks?
Mr. Tannenwald, what's going on?
I have to stop this man from hijacking the show entirely about Josh Sargent. Sorry. I just do.
Okay.
I think actually Jordan Pefok might get another shot here. But that's,
okay. Well, we're going to get there. We will talk about it.
Yeah, well, you might eventually if you stop talking about Josh Sargent.
We were about to move on, and then JTT called in, and we had to get JTT on the air. That's how that works.
Who's he want us talking about?
He says don't talk about Sargent anymore. We're not going to talk about Sargent.
Oh, please.
Anymore.
Oh, yes. Trust me. I have no idea. There's nothing I'd like more, JTT. You're mouth to God's ears, okay?
Right.
That's what I want.
The God
right
that
now.
Jared Dubois doesn't believe in. The God of Abraham, the God of Moses, the God of Jesus. Not the God he believes
in. My man Jehovah over there. I'm with my man Jehovah over here.
I'm staying out of that conversation, as you both know amply well.
All right.
I did want to say this about the roster size. This was my actual point. I think you're going to get closer to 30, if not more, on
Woo!
This team. Because one of the things we've learned with this three-game windows is you need a lot of people.
Well, okay, hold on, Jonathan. Before we move forward, you've covered American soccer and the national teams of various kinds for a long time. How do you sell that? If you're Berhalter, and I know, look, clubs have to release their players, FIFA requires it, et cetera, but there's always a massaging of relationships. Like, how deep into the squad are you going to go? And you're going to tell a player, hey, we're going to call you up, you're going to come join this camp, but there's also going to be 29 other guys here, and the chances that you dress, much less play, might not be very good. How do you sell that to a player and his club team?
I've got 3 days and 3 games in 7 days or whatever it is, and 5 subs per game. And, oh, by the way, we're playing in the frozen tundra for 3 days. We're not playing in 72 degrees, comfortable running around weather all the time. I need as many guys as I can get a hold of to be sure that I get out of this thing with as many points as possible. That's my theory.
Okay. Okay. But so you got to go up to this guy. You got to go up to these guys. You got to go up to Stanley Tucci and say, hey, I need my bad boy Pulisic. And he's going to be like Bambi on ice out here because we're going to play this thing in -20-degree weather. He's good, right? Like, there's nothing wrong. Like, this guy doesn't get hurt. You should bring this guy out, right? We're going to have him play the Winter Classic up here in Minnesota.
Well, I'm going to give you another one. And I'm just making sure of it real quick before I say it out loud. That's field turf in Hamilton, Ontario, not real grass.
Yeah.
If somebody said to me, you can have 7 points from 2 home wins and a tie at Canada, I said, I'm taking it. Goodbye.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Does that mean you hold back starters in the Canada game and you try to maximize the 6 points in the other 2 games?
Am I saying that out loud? In fact, yes, I am.
Regardless of whether or not that's what I would do, and I think it is easy to say, oh, just, you know, fire all your guns, all 3 games. Start Tyler Adams, start Weston McKennie, start Christian Pulisic every single match. You're not going to do that, especially with the weather conditions, especially with the travel, especially with the turf that Jonathan just identified in Canada. So,
it's
going
to be a bed of nails.
It's going to be
a bed of nails.
It's going to be
like
the best 11 he can put together for the El Salvador game. Win that game, and he's going to rotate. Now, we already talked about this last week, Jared. I don't know that he can rotate 7 guys and still keep a cohesive unit. But he's going to rotate. It's 100% going to happen.
We haven't seen it happen yet. I mean, do you remember some of the performances in the first 2 windows when there was heavy rotation?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, he hasn't been able to figure out the balance. And Jonathan,
Can you get away with rotating 7 players, but you leave Adams and McKennie in for all 3 games? Is that enough?
Adams McKennie in for the Canada game, you see how that game turns out, and then you make a determination about the Honduras game after that. So if you...
Yeah, I think you roll the dice on McKennie and Adams and play them the first 2.
You could rotate almost across the entire back line. You could certainly sit Pulisic for the Canada game. Obviously, you have some not great forward options anyway, so you might rotate there, let Pepe sit for that game, and maybe let Zardes start in Canada on turf, and then you'll have a couple of wing options.
JTT, does your opinion on potentially resting starters in Canada? And I know you're not saying it, but you're saying
who
it.
Are the starters?
But okay, hold on, let me finish my question. Okay, does it change? Your mind has not changed, knowing that one Alphonso Davies will not be playing in that game, and that game is far more winnable now than it potentially was a week ago.
It doesn't, because we don't know if Gio Reyna is going to be there.
That's a swap? And that's a one-for-one swap?
I mean...
No, but it's... If you're going to go all in on that, If you're going to go all in on that, I'd rather have Gio Reyna on the field to do it with, because he is, as much as I like some of the other options that are available at right wing, he's still the superior option out of all.
Okay.
Hey, you've got a commenter saying Weston McKennie must start all the games. No, he doesn't have to. Sorry.
Well, I think what Solomon is saying is that there's not a better player, not a better informed player for the United States right now than Weston McKennie, and your drop off. So we look again. We want to go through the entirety of the roster that we expect for, or we imagine Berhalter might call in, but the drop off in a couple of spots is steep enough, especially in combination with other rotation, that that's the problem. That was the problem in Panama. It wasn't that Kellen Acosta is a disaster at the six if you give him support ahead of him. It's that the guys ahead of him stunk the day up, as did Kellen Acosta.
But also, Kellen Acosta has been employed as an eight when he should have been a six a few times, and that's made him look bad.
But he was a six in that game, and he didn't get any help from the guys ahead of him, right? Sebastian Legette was bad in that game, right? So this is Berhalter's conundrum. And his job, let's remember this, is to qualify for the World Cup. He doesn't need nine Correct. Points to qualify for the World Cup. He needs to win his home games and give a decent shot against Canada. And I know how we swing as fans and how the fan base goes, get him out if he drops points in any situation. And dropping points against Canada at home in Nashville obviously doesn't make this game sort of a good one for Berhalter if he does rotate and drop and quote-unquote drop points in Hamilton. But if they come out with 6 points, he's still on target. He's still on target to qualify.
The thing about why I think maybe maximizing the Canada game a little bit more than what we're talking about here is because it denies the number one team points. You know, like, it's not just about the U.S. getting points. It's about denying Canada points as well.
Yeah, but I don't think, based on where – I know, it's a switch. I know where Panama is, but based on the fact that – based on where the top three teams are, Canada, the United States, and Mexico, I don't think you have to worry about that. I don't think you have to worry.
Can I throw another layer in there?
Go ahead, John.
Canada's got to go Honduras, Toronto, El Salvador, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they have two away legs.
So that's the middle game for them, too. How are they going to prioritize all this?
That's a good question. Is there one home game in this set of matches? And again,
yeah, there are the two games that are far more winnable, even being away.
This is true. I would think, in terms of talent, in terms of on paper,
Here's what's going to happen. We all know what's going to happen. It's going to be a cold-ass 0-0 draw.
Probably.
It's going to be a cold-ass 0-0 draw, and everyone is going to be like, eh.
Right, but here's the problem, right? The problem is, it better not be a cold-ass 0-0 draw in Columbus, because now you've ratcheted up the pressure.
Yeah.
And now you put yourself in a position where if you do decide you need to rotate in the game against Canada, you don't have your best team on the field, and you've dropped 2 points at home. And, oh, crap, now we've got to climb our way back to where we were by beating Canada on the road in Hamilton on the turf. Yes, without Fonzie Davies, but still with Jonathan David and Tejan Buchanan and Stephen Eustachio and all those guys.
JTT.
If they drop points against El Salvador, obviously that changes all of the calculus.
Yeah.
But in terms of the size of the roster you pick, for my money, you pick a roster big enough that you can rotate a lot over the course of the 3 games if you want to, given all of the factors involved.
But
I'm going to give you one name of a guy I'm watching in particular.
Okay.
Before I forget. Jordan Morris.
Yeah, I think Jordan Morris is going to be there. I do. I think Jordan Morris is probably going to be there. I don't know about Aaron Long because he hasn't played a competitive match since his injury.
Yeah.
But Morris has. And even
he's captaining the shadow squad, man. Like, he can't be there.
Yeah, it's gonna be off.
JTT.
Squad. Okay. Yeah.
JTT. Yes. Before we let you go, we get to the actual names on that we're gonna predict here. What's your over under on how many players end up COVID positive in travel? Like, how many players do we lose to COVID on this roster in the travel period? By the way, when I say lose to COVID, I'm not talking about dying. I want to clarify that.
Yeah, wow. Get it. Make it dark.
I understand that. I might need to try my best to not answer that question.
You're a smart man. You have integrity, and you have the people you have to respond to more than I do. So I understand your take there. I'm going with 2.5.
Okay. I don't. It's complete speculation. I don't know. I hope that they are.
It's everywhere.
I hope they maintain, as much of the the bubble as they can, and they
COVID is more pervasive than the Macarena in like 98.
It's interesting. I just listened to a podcast about the history of that song and how it got so. Anyway, so
of course you did. You're freaking Jason Davis. That's what I do. Disgusting. Yeah. I can't believe you spent your time doing that.
Hey man, it was interesting. All right, DTT, you got anything else?
I don't think so, but as I said, you know, just wanted to call and say hi. So
I appreciate it.
Oh, hi,
Mr. Tannenwald, out the door. Thank you very much for calling in. You too can call and talk to us on the Best Soccer Show at 717-727-2378. So do that if you want to talk about this roster. All right, Jared, we had a bit of a pause and some digressions, good ones. I think they're all pertinent. But where are we now on looking at this roster? And
well, I mean, we haven't started just yet throwing some names out there. So let's start where it's easiest. We'll go to goalie. And I don't think there's going to be any variance to our two expectations here.
Okay.
There might be variance on starter. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
I think pretty easily Zach Steffen, Matt Turner, and Sean Johnson.
Okay. Ding, ding, ding on all of those. Yeah.
Who's your starter?
Right now, Zach Steffen's my starter. I mean, even
man, I'm
even,
telling you, man, two cold ass games. I want a guy. I want a keeper just going to boot it up field, man. I want to get caught with any some stupid stuff.
Okay, I do understand that.
I'm going Matt Turner.
Zach,
I don't think it's going to happen, but I would pick Matt Turner.
Zach Steffen's been known to play in a turtleneck, in a tactile neck, hasn't he? So, I mean, I think the man can handle the cold and therefore be smart
with
the ball.
You're telling me that Matt Turner doesn't look like he could be doing like Civil War reenactments in the snow?
Oh, don't bring that up. There's that Revolutionary War character Twitter thing for him that I don't. Yes. I get it, but I don't get it. You know, I get it, but I'm not sure I like it.
You get it. You know,
I get it.
I just want to act like you
I just
don't
think
it.
It's funny.
It.
That's my problem. It's like we've done this before.
Why do you have to hate popular culture?
I don't hate popular culture. I hate. I don't hate it.
You wouldn't even watch Ted Lasso until eight people told you it was okay.
So how does that make me different than anybody else? How does that make me different than anybody else in the world? Why is that a thing?
Well, because you actually knew about it and knew what was happening. Everyone else heard about it later.
Okay. All right. I don't want to get into this. I don't want to talk Ted Lasso on the show. All right, let's
defense.
Go. Yeah, let's go to the back line.
All right, so
by the way, if we're doing 26, JTT said maybe 30. We're going to stick with 26.
Sure.
So
for our own sanity, we're going to say 26.
So what's the breakdown here? Give us an idea of how many players he should be calling up in each position group, because I think that's obviously a factor in sort of how we think about those three games.
Okay, so if for the fullbacks, I'm saying two and a half, okay?
Two
so
and a half
on
each side.
Because you'll see why in a second.
I think I know why, but go ahead.
Okay. For the left side, for me, I'm going to put my name out there for Andy Robinson and Sam Vines.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So
obviously, George Bellows option there. Some people want to do Jonathan Gomez. I think it's still too
early.
No.
Jonathan Gomez is, I don't know that Jonathan Gomez would accept that call unless he was somehow guaranteed he was going to play. And I don't think he's there. I don't think he's ready for it. I don't think Berhalter wants to throw him to the Wolves.
Are you a Bellows or a Vines guy?
Probably at this point, I'm more of a Vines guy, but I also am sort of aware that might be recency bias in that I've seen George Bellows struggle a bit, right, with the national
team.
Sure. Whereas Sam Vines is a guy who just finally got back to playing games in Belgium after making this move.
Saw he's dating a girl outside his level. I thought that was really cool.
You know who that is, right?
Yeah, someone's daughter.
It's
who
the
is
daughter
it?
Of the play-by-play / vice president of whatever his content.
Well done, son.
Of the Colorado.
I will
Rapids.
Say this. With George, for me, Bello, it would be a 30-man, I think. I think if there's an extra four guys, this is a position on the field where Berhalter may take an extra.
I think Vines and Robinson are good shouts, and I think they're both going to be in the team. Yeah.
Let's lock that down.
He's playing regularly. Just played played today, as a matter of fact. And a 3-0 win over Charleroi. 90 minutes at left back for Antwerp. Royal Antwerp. Get it right.
Okay, and I'm going with four center backs here. So I don't know, sure that might be
man, that might
one
be one
shy
short.
Of what we probably should take.
I think that's going to be at least one short.
We'll see. I got four here. You can talk me off the ledge. I've got Miles Robinson.
Okay. Yeah. Well. Okay. Yeah.
Walker Zimmerman.
Yeah. They're going to both be there.
Chris Richards.
I think that's 100%, yes.
And my fourth is Jonathan Brooks. I think he's played himself back into this team.
I think, man, I think he's going to be in the team. I hope he's figured out whatever it is that caused the problems before in terms of relationships.
I'll give you another reason why he's in this team. Not only has he recently been on good form again, he's one of the few center backs that is starting, playing, is in fit.
Right.
For this window.
Right. So sharpness, just playing competitive matches, right? The pressure that comes with trying to manage the ball at the back when you've got a guy pressing you? That kind of stuff. Walker Zimmerman and Miles Robinson haven't done that in 2 months, or won't have done that in 2 months.
I mean, they're doing it in camps, but they're not doing it in competitive matches.
I'm talking
about
in a match. Like, there's a different level. Everybody knows that. Chris Richards has 100%. And you know, he might be, I think Richards might even be a starter. Man, I don't know. Because you know, obviously Miles has done so well, but then there's the sharpness element for him. And as much as I love Walker, I think that there are next level. There are guys just a little bit better talent-wise in some of the things that Walker does.
I think, I don't know that Brooks comes into the starting lineup, but in a three-game set, he's going to end up getting a start, I think. I think Miles Robinson is still the starter on that left center back, and Zimmer may even still be the starter on the right side, to be honest with you.
Oh, man. So do you start, I know we're not talking necessarily about lineups, but do you start John Brooks back in the team after being in the wilderness for a little while against El Salvador at home in sort of a must-win game, or do you hold him out for the Canada match, put him in the, on the field on the turf in sub-Arctic temperatures in Ontario? I mean, either way, he's going to be playing in the cold. But
to me, I think the Canada match is the game for Brooks, and then you evaluate how he did in that and just make a decision on the third based on a little bit more form.
Okay.
I think the Canada match, we've already said, far less pressure to get 3 points. The game's going to be sloppy and ugly, which probably means the midfield's going to get bypassed a good amount, and you want a guy that's going to be able to win a ball in the air. Set pieces, I think, are going to be a big deal in that game.
Yeah.
I think John Anthony Brooks is a guy that you probably want in that game, especially to make it – I think there's less pressure. It's going to be sloppy, and I think the level of professionalism that he potentially has could be helpful
you're
in that.
I mean, obviously the errors we saw him make with the national team to be ended up being errors of aggression, which maybe he could be, maybe he can be coached into, hey, let's not do that this time, right? It'd be nice to be able to go and get the ball in midfield, but if you leave you leave space in behind, we're in trouble, especially against counterattacking teams, and Canada is going to murder you that way. By the way, your logic on Brooks starting against Canada because of the balls over the top and the way that they were likely to see other teams play is what Patrick is saying about Zimmerman. And Zimmerman is a beast winning balls in the air.
Oh, yeah. I think it's a flop between those two games. I think Zimmerman and Miles potentially start the first game, and Richards and Brooks go the second game, because you still get those 1-2 combinations that you want. You know, I'm a big proponent of the dynamic guy and the pillar guy.
Okay.
And I think in Richards and Brooks, you still get that. It's just reversed.
So again, I mean, and the chat's kind of going crazy with, oh, well, don't not start Miles Robinson. He's been great. And then obviously
playing 3 games.
Clayton is saying Miles and Walker together. You can start them against El Salvador and Columbus if you feel they're sharp enough. And again, El Salvador's not going to, they're not the world beaters, but they can give you problems if you are not sharp. You can start them there, I suppose. But they're not going to play all 3 games together. It's just not going to happen. So that's why. Now, you've only got 4 in here. If there is a fifth, who's the fifth? Who's the other center back that's even possible here? I mean, we talked about, okay, Miazga's been out of the team and probably isn't going to get back in on this short of notice. McKenzie's the guy that's been in the team, that's had looks, that's gotten opportunities to play in somewhat important matches. So are we looking at Mark McKenzie being the fifth guy?
I think here's the funny thing. You and I did an exercise the other day where I said this person or this person, this person or this person.
Uh-huh.
And where did Aaron Long end up for you? Number 5.
Yeah,
when
but
did it.
5, okay.
He ended up your number 5.
We said that in the moment. Maybe you're right. Maybe we said that in the moment. Because
you're not taking, if there's a 30-man roster, or maybe even here, you take a fifth. Fifth.
Yeah.
Do you take a flyer on Aaron Long, or do you take Mark McKenzie?
By the way, Mark McKenzie, and I need to check on Genk's. I need to check on Genk's matches. I think I know. You know, I'm working with match logs, and we need to check on all this stuff. Well, when we get to it, just kind of keep this in mind. There's a break in the season in Austria. So,
Austria.
Yeah. So Brendan Aaronson's sharpness now kind of comes into question. Because of what's going on there.
Brendan Aaronson is still running blocks, laps around his house on the
okay. Around,
you know, that dude's got so much energy. He don't worry about him.
Okay. In Belgium, they took a bit of a break between Christmas and this weekend. Mark McKenzie has not played since December 19th for Genk. So
that's
not
rough.
Not in the lineup.
Aaron Long hasn't played since 2019.
Yeah. What's the timing on that?
For me, I take a fifth center back.
Okay.
I might take the flyer on Aaron Long just as a locker room guy, like a story guy,
okay,
a leader.
Well, again, we're you know, this is you pray you don't need him, right? That you're working
for sure
out these combinations through three games, and you're hopeful you only have to use four players. Okay, so let's...
I mean, after that, we're talking about Kessler or maybe even Cameron Carter-Vickers at that point.
Maybe. I mean, the best defender in Scotland is Cameron Carter-Vickers these days. Who knows?
That's what I hear.
Okay, so let's move on. Having done the left back and the center back, let's do right back, because this is where things get dicey again.
All right, right back. Sergiño Dest. And for me... Well, you're not going to say no to Dest.
He's gonna be in the team, and it's not that I don't want to call him up. It's just I don't know.
There's no Alfonso Davies, dude. This dude's gonna be butter against okay. Canada now.
All right, if you believe so. So if you're starting Dest,
because Xavi doesn't like him, all of a sudden he's a bad player.
No,
he's not useful to us?
It doesn't mean he's a bad player. It just means that I don't know. I always worry about Sergiño Dest's head. I always worry about that, and I worry about him coming into a game where he feels like he has something to prove and literally doing nothing but taking stupid risks. And then...
Okay, but in the two home games, aren't you happy with him taking some stupid risks?
Well, okay, so
you'd be playing against defenses or be bunkered down.
I know.
He's the guy that broke that down last time and scored a worldy.
Okay, but you just argued that you bring him in part because Canada doesn't have Fonzie Davies. You don't have to defend that side with Davies on the left for Canada. Yeah. So is he going to play against El Salvador? Is he playing against Canada? Is he playing against Honduras? He played the first two games.
I actually don't think he plays against Canada. To be honest with you, I don't think he plays against Canada. I mean, if you lose the first game, he's playing against Canada. But I think you use him for the two home games because he can beat a defense. You need guys that can beat a man one-on-one and get behind. Dest, I think, is the whole reason why you bring him is for those types of games. So for me, Sergiño Dest is in the 23.
Okay.
Now, the next name,
okay.
I'm going Reggie Cannon here.
Whoa, you are. I think that's a little bit of an upset. I think that's a kind
over
of
over who? Shaq Moore?
Over well, DeAndre Yedlin for one.
No, I don't think so.
No,
not me personally. Reggie Cannon's playing again, and by most accounts, playing pretty well for Boavista again. I still think he's a better defender than DeAndre Yedlin.
He's played some games. I think he's also played a little bit as a center back in a three-back system.
Sweet. Now we don't have to bring another center back. Awesome.
Yeah.
Coverage.
Yeah. so that's okay. That keeps him ready. He's in form. He feels good for you playing.
I'm a Reggie Cannon believer.
Okay.
I think that he's still maybe the best one-on-one defender on the right side. There might be a guy coming up on him that I'm going to talk about here in a second.
Well, that's where this comes in, right? So now, what about Joe Scally? You're bringing him too, right?
That's my 2.5, baby. That's my 2.5. So that way he can play left or right. Joe Scally is the duct tape for that back line. He can play on either side. I think now's the time. You bring him in finally. I know he didn't play against Mönchengladbach on last weekend, but I'm not sure if he was back this weekend or not.
He played yesterday. He played 30 minutes yesterday. Came off the bench in a loss against Leverkusen.
Yeah, I know he didn't play in the Bayern game.
Right. He had COVID. He was a COVID positive, which is why he wasn't able to play against Bayern.
That's another reason to be here, baby. He's got them antibodies now. You don't have to worry about him on the travel. He ain't no shadow squad player.
All right. So that's your half, though?
That's a super blood.
Is that your half?
That's my whole back line. That's my half, yes. That's my okay. Joe Scally is my
so,
2.5.
So it's Dest, Cannon, and then Scally, who can maybe play both sides if
coverage.
You need him to. Okay. Is there anybody we're missing?
So are you going to change any of those names? Are you going to veto any of those names?
No, I'm not.
The Sam Vines?
No, I think...
The Cannon?
No, I think you've got the group. I just... Man.
Cannon or Yedlin. It could definitely be a toss-up. Berhalter's like Yedlin. But you also know that Cannon was his guy.
I think Yedlin's in the team.
Before he stopped getting
PT. I think Yedlin's in the team. I think maybe you get six, and Yedlin is one of them, and Scally can be a guy who maybe fits on the left-hand side if you need him. He's also young, and again, are we starting Joe Scally in a World Cup qualifier, or is he a bench guy? Is he a guy coming off the bench to lock something down?
Guy's younger than him starting.
No, that's true, but they have maybe already had some experience in the team and in qualifying, and now, again, on the frigid tundra of the upper middle
northwest. I think Berhalter's at the point where... If you can play in the Bundesliga week in, week out, and you can play well,
okay.
Who am I to say you can't play in
that's probably the right opinion. I just, I'm just trying to figure out if if we can reasonably expect Joe Scally to be that guy. So, okay, so that's sick. I'm throwing Yedlin in there. I know that you've got to limit it at 26, but I think if I have one, not a veto, but an addition, I think Yedlin's going to be in the team. I don't see how he's not, actually.
Okay. I don't know. For me personally, I would take Cannon, but on a 30-man team, I would take Yedlin.
I think it's possible that Yedlin would be in over Cannon. But if Cannon's limited time after coming back into the Boa Vista team convinces Berhalter.
I'm going to change Cannon to Yedlin. Okay.
Okay.
And we'll put Cannon on the potential 30 man.
Well, okay. So let's also consider real quick that while I like Reggie Cannon, what he is lesser than DeAndre Yedlin is getting up the field and doing things in the attack, correct? He's a better defender, right? You identified him as a better defender.
But Dess and Yedlin are too alike in that way for me.
I mean, I think they're very different players in how they attack and what they do when they attack. But I also think that Yedlin's a better defender than Dest is, or a more a more conscious defender than Dest is.
I'm a better defender than Dest
is.
I'm 44.
But what I'm saying is, why bring a guy against three teams that you should have the ball and the advantage and be wanting to get your fullbacks up the field? Why bring in Reggie Cannon? He's a late game substitute. He's a lockdown guy.
I mean, it's three games, too. I mean, he may be a game where you may start. I don't know. Like, that Canada game where we're talking about you want to be tight in the back, you know, it's going to be scrappy. You may not want the Yellen or the Cannon that are prone to giving up the ball.
Okay.
All right, midfield.
Midfield.
Let's get the locks out real quick. This is where we're tight.
Oh, we're doing – I don't have a lock drop. I should have a lock drop. I don't have one of those. This is the drop. That's a Super Friends drop. So this is the Super Friends in the midfield.
We're tight in the middle like a chick that does yoga.
Okay.
Okay, so we got in the middle, we got Adams, we got McKennie, and we got Musa. All right? No changes there, right? That's the easiest thing we've penciled in all night.
No, that's super easy. That for sure. Right, and you know what? Since we're there, let's note that Adams is playing regularly for Leipzig right now. That Yunus Musa is getting more time than ever before at Valencia. Maybe not in the position that we want him to play all the time, but he is a beast. And then Weston McKennie, and I know we don't have time for this because we're going through this roster, but I'm honestly wondering, and maybe recency bias is a thing, and I think you even brought something up as a comparison that's kind of recent too. Have we seen a player at this level? I'm not talking about playing at Fulham. I'm not talking about playing in the Eredivisie. I'm not talking about second Bundesliga. Have we ever seen an American playing at this level for a club as big as Juventus this well, as we are with Weston McKennie right now during this run?
You said American, not midfielder, right? You said American.
American, period. Any position.
The only time that rivals it is the 3 months summer of America that Christian Pulisic put in during the 2020
the return
after the
COVID from
lockdown.
COVID. Right. Yeah. No fans.
I mean, ever been American that had a hotter 3 months. But then again, there's recency bias with Weston, but there's also goal bias with Pulisic.
Yeah.
Goals make bigger impressions.
Well, Weston scoring goals and doing all kinds of crazy stuff in midfield.
Dude got two goals. Okay. Yeah. Great for
him. I know. I will say this. For a league that is known for its defending, apparently marking Weston McKennie
wide open six yarders.
Not
man.
A thing. They just let the dude wander in the box back post. Boom, it's a goal.
I'm starting to wonder if the patch of blonde in his hair makes him like blend in camouflage style with the stands or something.
You know,
like
I on the recommendation of the besties in the Slack, I started Doom Patrol, which is on HBO Max. It's super crazy weird. It's a DC comic thing. There's a character played by Alan Tudyk, who I love, by the way, who's like kind of like you shattered in a mirror. Like you can only see part. Like he's all angles, and you can only see parts of his.
Okay.
That's
like
what
Picasso
I imagine.
Painting.
Sort of like that. Sort of like Weston McKennie with the blonde spot, and maybe he's
or
ghosts in.
His teammates all appreciate that he gives them a target.
You know what? That might be the reason. It's not. Wait, hold on. He didn't spill ranch on his hair. That's not what happened with that.
No, it's like Chiesa. Put it here. Yeah. Oh, by the way, how are they going to be without Chiesa?
Oh, Chiesa going down is a big problem for them. Okay, so that's the starting lineup in the most important games. Those three guys.
I've got three more midfielders. I only took six in this because there's some guys that can move around a little bit. You know, so
wait, hold on.
The other three for
you only four center backs. Four and a half fullbacks, so I guess five fullbacks. Yes. So that's nine. Yes. You got three goalkeepers.
I've got,
that's 12.
I'll be honest with you. I've got seven 18. Up front.
Wow.
I'm sorry, not seven. I'm sorry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I've got 8 up front.
You have 8 up front.
But multiple can play in the midfield.
I see. Okay. Well, let's...
it's the same thing Berhalter does. Okay. Berhalter always brings a small midfield cord as well.
That's kind of true. Okay. So are we going too deep at all three of these positions, or do you imagine this is a 5-man?
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's pretty much the way this is going
to
work
group.
Out.
All right. So give it to me. Tell me what you got. It's Kellen Acosta, right? 100% Kellen Acosta.
Kellen Acosta backing up Adams.
Okay.
Then I've gone with Busio backing up McKennie.
Oh, my ding. Okay. Busio's coming in. I agree with that. Yes.
And here's the one that a lot of people are going to like. Some people maybe won't, but De La Torre for Musa.
Ooh, okay.
I'm man of the match this last week.
He
was. He's got a really good run of form right now.
He was. Luca. I want to believe. I do. I want to believe that that's the move. Now, I am not 100% convinced that Luca De La Torre is a one-for-one swap with Musa the way some people seem to think he is.
Nor am I.
Or that he is on the level to not have this team drop off.
But we don't have another player that does what Musa does. Who else here is going to like break lines?
That.
You know,
I
like
understand.
In the midfield, we don't have that midfielder.
I understand that. That's why I
think De La Torre is going to break lines, but through passing.
That's why I pitched.
You know,
it's why I pitched Darlington Nagby for the Shadow Squad because I want Darlington Nagby back in my team.
Man,
I want the man to.
You're going to have to kidnap him in a burlap sack from his couch to get him on this team.
All right. So
other people. So the other options. So what is not included here is no Roldan.
No
Sebastian Legette.
I think it's. By the way, if we're judging what we think Berhalter is going to do, it's extremely dicey that you don't have Roldan or Legette, either one of them. It's extremely dicey.
I think he's ready to cut bait. I really think he might be ready to cut bait with these guys.
Okay.
The other guys are just coming up. I mean, how do you say no to Busio, who's got the most minutes of any 19-year-old in the Serie A? I mean, anyone under 20 in the Serie A.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. Yeah. I can see that. I can see that. Okay.
And De La Torre is in good form as well.
But
they're in season.
You are choosing to believe. As a man of no religious faith, for some reason, you have faith that Berhalter is going to hit the Luca De La Torre button and not call up his two MLS guys. Not call up his boys from the trenches or whatever.
I think this is the window if you're ever going to do it because both these guys are out of season. They're both out of season right now.
They are both out of season.
Why not bring up the guys that are in form, playing well at their clubs?
This is interesting because it does give him a little plausible deniability. Now, I know it's going to be a big group. We don't know, 26, 30, whatever. But you do have plausible deniability. You can say, hey, Sebastian, well, you just made your move to New England, and, you know, you are out of season. Yeah. And we're going to go with some younger guys who are in Europe. Or, hey, Christian, you've done a great job in Seattle. And, you know, I really thank you for what you've done with us so far. But
hit the pavement.
No, not like that at all. Not like that at all. Okay.
You can come with a team if you want, but you're going to shag balls.
So walk me through this again. The three starters are obviously McKennie, Musa, and Adams. And then our three backups are?
Costa, Busio, De La Torre.
Okay. Okay.
Now, you could also make the argument that Mihaljevic might be a better choice than De La Torre.
Mihaljevic is not going to
really want a game changer.
He's not going to be in this team. Mihaljevic is not going to be in this team. I don't think he's. I have a question about his.
For some reason, 13 goals in MLS makes Pepe a starter, but 17 assists in MLS makes Mihaljevic not anywhere near the team. I got it. Okay.
I'm not telling you it's logical. I'm telling you, I don't have a sense that Berhalter is going to call up Mihaljevic for this group if you're keeping it to 26. If it goes to 30, it's possible. I just don't think it's happening at 26.
Okay.
Carlin says Mihaljevic is going to make it. We'll see. Go ahead.
Out of 30, man, maybe. I think it's a true stretch. All right. Up front, so many forwards. So many forwards.
How many forwards?
Okay.
So many forwards. Okay. I mean, you know, you got to score to
you
win the game,
forward.
Right? Got to score to win the game. Let's go.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of attitude I want to see. Pulisic.
Okay.
Pepe.
Okay.
Aaronson.
Yes. Off for a month. Hopefully
locks across the board.
Again, yes, all three of those guys are locks.
Okay, next round. Here's where we're going to have maybe you and I differ a little bit. We'll
by the way, that's your starting trio? Because Aaronson's typically played on the left where Pulisic lines up.
I think he can play on the right.
Berhalter has said he likes him on the left. He doesn't see him on the right. Like, that's a thing.
Okay, but you're not going to get him in the game then. You're gonna put, I have a couple of names you can play on the right here, but that means Aaronson is not going to be a factor.
Again, we're gonna rotate, right? We're going to rotate this thing. So Pulisic could start against El Salvador, and Aaronson could start against Canada, and obviously a Pulisic in reserve. But you and there are guys with Weah and Reyna both out. That does hurt the right side pretty significantly. Again, you'll get there, I guess, with the backups here. But tell me.
Okay. All right. So next one, Daryl DK.
Okay. Yeah. Again, he's not in form, but he's back in season. And I think that you do need a bulldozer in these games.
If you're playing
a
dirty Canada game,
yeah,
on a bed of nails, and
by the way, what's the lowest temperature you've ever played a soccer game in, or ever done anything athletic in? What's the lowest? I'm really curious about this, Mr. California.
45.
Oh my god, that's
probably.
And 45, you were probably screaming inside, like this is the worst thing I've ever done in my life.
I'll tell you something else. I have never played like with a long sleeve shirt under my jersey.
Jeez, man.
I've never happened. Now I have played in some long sleeve jerseys. My team had them and stuff like that, but like I've never worn a long sleeve underneath.
I've played football in weather that where it hurts to stand around, much less hit somebody or physically contact somebody. So
you know something that hurts? Try having wet crotch at 110 degrees in the summer.
Man, that's nothing compared to that. Okay. So
I got crotch rod over here.
DK's in because DK is a weapon specific to this situation. In addition,
think that Canada game has DK written all over.
Being a guy that should play, right? Yeah. By the way, speaking of the man, he made his debut for West Brom. Did you see that? Did you see what he did?
I saw him. I saw him put a grown man on his tuchus.
I
saw him put a guy's head first into the boards like he was a hockey
player. Did you think it was dirty?
No. Okay. Not a set. Okay. Not even a little bit.
Okay.
I saw a grown ass man that wanted it more.
He is not afraid. I will tell you that. Dale DK is not afraid. Right.
I wish he had looked at him and said, "Welcome to."
He's not afraid to check a dude into the boards, to the signboards, the ad boards. Mm-mm. He is not afraid to make a fool out of himself on TikTok. He's not afraid of either one of those.
I like both those things.
Both those things about Daryl DK.
My man is more than one thing. All right, here we go. Okay, these are a couple of things here. I have PFOC.
Okay. You're bringing in a big squad, and you don't have anybody else that's scoring goals. Yeah, call Jordan PFOC.
And I think if there's 15 minutes left in a game, do you want DK or do you want PFOC coming in for Pepe?
Ooh. I think I want DK.
You need a goal.
I think I want DK.
You need a goal? You would go DK over PFOC with 15 minutes left?
Man, I don't know. It's the road grazer that
I just
grader,
feel like PFOC has that nose to find a ball that drops in the box.
Okay.
You know, if something's going to fall in the box, I just for some reason feel like he's the guy's going to find it.
Pepe, DK, PFOC. I think, you know, there's really no other place. I mean, Zardes. You're going to leave Zardes out? You're bringing him too.
I don't have Zardes in my lineup.
That's not going to happen. It's not one of those guys, DK or PFOC, is going to miss out because of Josh.
Okay.
Zardes.
You can veto. You can veto.
No. Again, this is not. We are not the whole context.
We
of
need
this,
to come to a consensus. You and I need to come to a best soccer show consensus.
But
2026.
The whole context of this is not.
Calm down, Greg. It's soccer. It's soccer.
It's not what we think Greg Berhalter is going to do. This is what we would call up, right? This is what we're going to call up if we're going to go win these games.
And listen, there is an argument to be made that Zardes is the guy that potentially should be there. I maybe am putting too much weight on who's in season and who's not right now. Maybe I am. Because I don't have Roldan, I don't have Legette, I don't have Zardes in here.
Yeah.
I might be putting too much weight on that. But I do have two guys that are in camp right now. And I'm going to talk about them next right now.
Okay.
I have Paul Arriola.
Okay.
And I have
Jordan Morris. I think Morris is a lock. Well, man, I say that. That's crazy.
We're talking about we need someone on the right to play on the opposite side of Pulisic, right?
Morris is a better player than Arriola on the attacking midfield. Arriola is a better defender and a better back presser.
Yep.
Arriola is relentless.
You don't need that in the two home games, though. You don't need that in the two home games.
Maybe not. Arriola is relentless, which helps. I'm trying to remember, was it the Jamaica game where his movement opened things up for Yunus Musa, for Pepe? Yep. He doesn't get enough credit for that. I mean, I'm not saying I want Paul Arriola to start a game.
Dude does dirty work.
In the World Cup. Come November, if we make it, I'm saying that he doesn't get enough credit for what he does, and he can be effective in ways that aren't obvious. But you would like somebody who can also break. Look what Tim Weah did against Mexico. We're not going to get that with any of these guys, right? We're not going to get that.
Jordan Morris could do that. He in his best at his best. Jordan Morris could do that.
Okay,
I have faith.
Is he
in
at
that.
His best in this camp in these games?
I don't know. We'll have to see. But I will say this. I think your forward three against Canada is potentially Brendan Aaronson, Daryl DK, and Paul Ariola. That three is careful. That three is opportunistic. That three keeps you in the game all the way to the end. That's what I think is going to be his mindset for the Canada.
By the way,
I hope I'm wrong.
I'm sorry. Dan, I'm going to pick on you, Dan. This is so wrong, Dan. I wish it was true, okay? I wish you were right about this, but we've already seen enough in qualifying.
It's negative 20, dude.
We already know enough about CONCACAF even before we get to the weather. We can outplay them. That's okay, yes, on a neutral
sure
pitch in 85 degree, 80 degree weather. Let's make it 80 degree weather, kind of perfect, little bit of heat, but not on that field. Yes, we can outplay them. That's not going to happen. There's going to be ugliness in these games. Do not look for beauty, because you're not going to find it. So if that's the case, man, get the points. I don't care how. Get the points. Let's worry about how they look and whether or not things are flowing and we're outplaying people.
Outside the game, I think it was against Guatemala, where we came back and won that game by like two or three goals away. Outside of El Salvador, not Guatemala.
Honduras. You're talking about Honduras?
Was it Honduras?
Yes.
Was Honduras the one? We were doing?
Yeah,
okay.
That was the second half
Honduras
comeback.
Game. Outside of that game, can you think of another away game that Berhalter has not chosen a pragmatic lineup? That's what he does on the road.
Yeah.
He's very old school in that mentality. Win at home, draw on the road, keep yourself in it.
Yeah.
We all know we could outplay Canada if we put our best 11 out there. We all know that we could potentially run the right kind of game against them. But it's game two away in a three-game window. You're not going to play that game.
Yeah.
It's just not realistic.
Again, I would love to have the best 11 players all in form in Europe doing good things, line them up and go beat the tar off of teams, you know, in CONCACAF, and prove that the talent is there. And look, we saw against Mexico what they're capable of. And that wasn't even, was that even the best lineup that you could possibly get? Because we didn't have Reyna on the field, right? Because Pulisic was a substitute in that game, right? That's the hope is that the depth comes to the four when necessary, and you can win games. And yeah, it'd be great to play beautiful soccer against everybody. And I really do hope that against El Salvador and Honduras, even on frozen tundras, they put some stuff together and we are not sweating for 90 minutes. But at least against Canada, it's going to be ugly, okay? It's just going to be ugly.
So I said Ariola, I said Morris. You got any issue with either of those two?
I think they're both going to be in the roster. By the way, Paul Ariola may be on his way to Club America, which is interesting. If he does need to make a move, I guess it's possible that Berhalter will leave him off the roster. Are you putting these guys on because you think they have utility and you would call them up? That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, I think right now, unfortunately with Reyna out, we need a lot of different options on that right side of the forward. And that's why I've taken one more guy. This is the last guy in my 26 that I put together.
Who's that?
And that's Jesus Ferreira.
Okay. Now, Jesus Ferreira is a guy who plays through the middle, even if he doesn't play as a forward.
And I think if you have to go to a false nine, he's your best option at a false nine. I know Pulisic has played there for Chelsea and stuff like that.
We're not
but
doing that.
You want him outside where he can be isolated and make something happen.
Okay. But I think you still need one more option on the right. I mean, again, you argued playing that
Ferreira can play there as well.
Ferreira could play there. Aaronson, you already pitched as an idea.
You got Morris, you got Ariola, you got Ferreira, who all can play on that right side if necessary.
Okay.
And I think it's a pretty deep drop. Who are you going to next? Who are you going to next at that position? You're going to bring Matthew Hoppe in to do it? You're going to bring Josh Sargent in to do it?
Sargent's been playing on the wing. I'm not going to argue for that right now based on everything.
Quote unquote playing. You know.
Hoppe. I mean, I like Hoppe, but I don't think a couple of substitute appearances. I know you're calling in MLS guys who are out of season, Ferrer's out of season, et cetera. I just don't think Hoppe's going to beat out the other guys. I could make an argument for Hoppe, though, because he is a game-changing player off the bench.
Yeah, but he's just getting back to his team with Mallorca.
Sure.
You know?
Sure, but again.
You know me.
The MLS guys haven't played since the beginning of November. Ferreira hasn't played a competitive game since the beginning of November.
Yeah, but hold on. Coming back from injury and not playing if you're in your offseason, I think are a little bit two different things, to be honest with you.
That's true.
There's a recovery aspect.
There is a recovery aspect of it, too. Yeah,
Morgan's given us a stat in here, which I hadn't thought about, that might play a little bit into, again, who plays what game in these three-game windows. She's saying that McKenny, Brooks, and Adams are all carrying yellows. We forget about Brooks because it's been so long.
Right.
Didn't McKenny clear his? McKenny cleared his because he didn't play in Jamaica.
How would he have cleared it? What do you mean cleared?
He
his?
Got a yellow card suspension. Remember?
Oh, that's right. He was suspended for the Jamaica game.
So McKinney is not carrying yellow anymore.
He is not.
That's incorrect. McKinney didn't play in Jamaica.
He must have reset it, right? Wasn't that Robinson?
It was Robinson and McKinney, wasn't it?
I thought so. We have to double check on that. That's going to dictate obviously lineup situation. It wouldn't be a disaster to have a player who's on a yellow clear the yellow in the game against El Salvador, miss out on Canada when you're rotating anyway.
For sure.
Yeah, and come back and play in that game against Honduras or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it won't play too much in for it. I mean, I think we're going to be okay in that respect. Okay, so the 26 that I have here, and let me know if you want to make any adjustments.
Uh-huh.
We have Stephen Turner Johnson in the back.
Yes.
Andy Robinson, Sam Vines, Miles Robinson, Zimmerman, Richards, Brooks, Dest, Yedlin, Scally. That's your full defensive core. Midfield of Adams, McKinney, Musa, De La Torre, Acosta, Busio. And then a forward eight of Pulisic, Pepe, Aronson, DK, PFOC, Morris, Areola, Ferreira. Would you like to substitute Zardes for PFOC?
For my team, no.
I feel like, okay.
Yeah, right. not for my team. I mean, I do think I think Jossie Zardes has value for this group, but I also think you need guys that are as sharp as possible and in form as possible. And I don't think Pepe and DK are sharp or in form. I don't think that's a fair way to look at what their situation is. But they have played meaningful matches. They have been in meaningful matches recently before this camp gets together. And PFOC is obviously the one guy in the group that can score goals or has been scoring goals and has that confidence level. Yeah. So I don't know.
So that means notable names that may make the 30-man roster, if there is one, that we are not including here are Mihailovic, mm-hmm. McKenzie, mm-hmm. Roldan, Leggett, Sargent, Bello, Cannon, Zardes. And I threw this one in because we haven't said the name yet, but I think with the minutes that he's getting, at some point we're going to have to talk about him a little bit, Tesman.
Yeah, Tesman is interesting. That would be a full introduction of a player who I don't think has ever been in a senior camp, even a December. Was he in a camp last year? I don't even know, right? I don't think so. I'm looking at a list here. Cole Bassett is a name that I don't think he's going to make the final roster. Just made his move, right?
I don't think he's there yet, man.
Going to Feyenoord on loan, which will be interesting for him. James Sands
I think Conrad De Fuente is not getting minutes.
No, James Sands is the only other name where I could say maybe because of his versatility. He obviously had a stinker for the U.S. against Panama.
Let him go to Scotland. Let him start his tenure over there, you know, and I don't see why
get adjusted to Haggis.
He's going now, right?
Yeah, he's going now.
Yeah.
Get adjusted to the Haggis and that whole situation.
Yeah. Okay. I also didn't say CCV. I know Cameron Carter-Vickers, but I think he's a little bit further out than some of these guys we talked about.
Lots of people arguing for Giacchini to get a look.
Because he's not scoring in the second French division. Like, why would we bring him in?
Well,
like,
he's also a versatile guy, right? He can also, I'd
like the guy.
Berhalter has used him on the wing. And you already argued that right wing is a problem, and we've seen him play there.
Yeah, but even he'll tell you that's not his position. Like, he's supposed to be in the middle. Most of these guys want to be in the middle.
Well, look, I don't think there are easy choices in some of these spots. And again, I think we're probably going to get close. 22 of these names are going to be in this group for sure. And there's a couple of names where it could be different. Yedlin for Cannon or Cannon for Yedlin certainly center back with McKenzie and questions there. And the forward group, does he call up three center forwards, four if you include Ferreira? Obviously, Ferreira is, by the way, he's not, that's a good point. Giacchini is in Ligue 1. He's in the top division in France now. He's not in the second division anymore. Okay. So give him credit for that. It's a big five league in Europe, and we should mention it. Is there anything else? Any of these moves that you want to talk about? I mean, again, I mentioned the James Sands move. He goes to Rangers. Cole Bassett's going to Feyenoord, it looks like. I think that one's done.
Costa's going to LAFC.
Acosta's going to LAFC. And by the way, burned a bridge on his way out the door. Not that he was going to go back to Colorado, but just burned
it
down.
LAFC, though, aren't you kind of pissed out right now? Did Rapids give them a false bill of goods there? Like, you're getting a guy that doesn't want to be in MLS. This guy doesn't want to be in MLS.
Oh,
He wanted to go to Europe.
I think the due diligence has been... I think everybody knew Kellen Acosta wanted to go. And look, they paid a lot for him. Maybe they get a half a year out of him and try to sell him. if he plays for
basically,
the National
they just
team.
Traded Mark Anthony Kaye for Acosta.
And
that's
Colorado got extra money and a draft pick out of the deal. So there you go.
And LAFC got to miss the playoffs. Like, that's what they got in the trade as well.
There, But Mark Anthony Kaye was not good for LAFC before they traded him.
Yeah, he was having a poor season for about a year, calendar year.
It looks like Justin Che is going to get a move, too. Now, we're not at the point of considering Justin Che for the senior national team. But he's going to go play with Chris Richards. He's going to go play alongside his former FC Dallas Academy buddy.
Dallas is doing business, man. Dallas is doing business.
They need to spend
with
some of that business.
I believe. I think it's a loan with option to buy and a sell on.
Yeah. I think there is some rumor out there that they're looking to bring in a forward, bring in a big name, a goal scorer, probably out of South America. I mean, a big name relative to what they usually spend, and maybe it'll be an $8 to $10 million spend. But that would be a big thing for them, right?
What do you think about what Bob Bradley's doing up in Toronto, man?
Is it Bob Bradley?
I don't know. Like, is he the guy pulling the strings of the thing? I mean, who's doing it?
He's the guy who has total control of the soccer side of things, so it is down to him. But Bill Manning's the one pushing MLSE to drop serious cash all over the place. Then they did it with Insigne. They're going to probably go get another guy. There's been Dries Mertens has been mentioned. I think Bilotti has been mentioned. I think that one's probably not going to happen. Salcedo.
They need a center back.
Is the center back. That would be a move. He's 28 in the Mexican international. Do you think that, I know he played in MLS, I know he came up with RSL before going down to Mexico, but do you think he really chooses to leave Tigres for Toronto when there's a World Cup coming? I'm just curious. I mean, obviously Insigne is making the same choice, but he's 31, or will be 31 when he gets here.
I don't know, man. Toronto's a nice city to live in. You know, it's a nice place to be.
Right now. Right now it's freezing cold, but other times of the year, sure. Beautiful place.
Yeah, I think if he's not the first Mexican player, I mean, the only difference, is any different than Pizarro coming?
I think Pizarro...
Was Pizarro 29 when he came over?
Something like that. I mean, Pizarro played poorly enough that he just basically played himself out of the Mexican national team. I think the last time he got
Not when they brought him into Miami, he was in that position. He was playing for the national team at that time.
I think
time.
He was pretty fringy at the time. And I don't know that you can even look
Pulido came over? Oh, God, how bad. I feel bad for Alan Pulido, man. Already out for the 2022 season.
Yeah, look, Meehan.
When he's played, he's looked like the guy that you know he is. But the guy has just not been on the field enough over three seasons now.
Injuries happen, right? I don't know.
I feel bad for him. I feel bad for the Kansas City team, too. Because imagine how good that team was last year, even without him. That's a huge loss.
Yeah.
Right now, the last thing MLS-wise, like, at some point, is the Galaxy going to make a move? They got a DP spot burning a hole in their pocket. Usually, this is the team that flashes that cash and brings someone in. Vandy's talking about French, like, midfielders, like, that we all have to Google. Like, this isn't the Galaxy of old who they're targeting.
Do you think look, the Galaxy have money. It's not like he's dropped off in terms of what he can spend. It's not like his parents have taken away his allowance. You know, Toronto spent cash. LA Galaxy are usually willing to do so. But do you think he's trying to be the man as opposed to Toronto, where he had Tim Bezbachenko building things for him?
He's trying to be Bruce Arena. Arena's the first guy that got that deal.
But he's outsmarting himself, right? He's outsmarting himself.
It's hard to say because, I mean, unlike when Bruce Arena took over the Galaxy, Bruce Arena already had McGee, Beckham, Keane, Donovan. He had Gonzalez, I think, and AJ De La Garza, or he drafted him that year. I'm not sure. But Vandy was not inheriting all that. So you got to give the guy at least a season. The guy only had a season, you know, and you see some of the components. I think that he's missed really large on a couple of the signings that he's done so far, but he's building. You got to give him a chance to build. And I think Klein is going to give him that chance. If anyone should be on the hot seat, it's Klein. It's not
Klein.
Vandy.
Klein's going to give him that chance? What does Klein have to lose at this point? I mean, the man is on borrowed time. What the hell? Like, might as well let Greg Vandy run rampant in the French leagues and say, hey, sure, go sign a third division player out of France for $800,000 or whatever.
I'm starting to wonder if Uncle Phil's like, hey, you can't quite spend my money the way you used to. I wonder if Phil's tightening
maybe,
up a little bit.
Maybe. The league has changed on him a little bit.
What's the level of player that the Galaxy should go at? What's a name that is 30-plus?
A DP kind of player?
Yeah. What's the kind of player they should be targeting? Because is it a midfielder? Is it a creative white player?
So you got Chicharito Hernandez already under contract. He's not going anywhere, right?
Yeah.
So what's the biggest need? You need a winger because Pavone's not coming back?
You need a winger, and then obviously you don't have John Dos Santos anymore.
So you need a six kind of play. You know,
let me throw a name out to you.
Deep lying playmaker guy. Okay, go ahead.
34 years old.
Uh-huh.
Arturo Vidal.
I would love to see Arturo Vidal in Major League Soccer. He would tear the place
at
up.
At 34, is that too much of a risk? Even being as good as Vidal is
I think Vidal's got an engine on him that's going to let him play a couple more years at a pretty high level. I know it's a midfield position, so you kind of it's not like Zlatan, who never played any defense and could just lurk up there at 38 or 39 or whatever he was. I do think you take a risk, but I think Vidal's probably worth it for a year or two. The pie in the sky, and you're not going to get him out because he seems to be playing at a high enough level that it's not happening now. Luka Modric is the guy. That's the guy. You're just not going to get Luka Modric, right?
Yeah, there's been rumors about Modric for years that he was. There's a few times that seems like the Galaxy kind of flirted with him a little bit.
Give me Luka. I don't.
What
care.
Is he now? 36.
What
is Modric?
He's up there, 34, 35 at this point. I don't know what. So there's something happening.
The difference, though, in Vidal, I feel like that guy's good.
He is 36. Holy crap, he's 36.
Yeah, Vidal obviously got 2 years on him, but also Modric is the kind of guy that's been fouled a lot in his career. He's been fouled so much. How much has he got left on those legs?
I mean, again, I don't know. You are taking a risk. He's at 36 years, but he's playing for Real. It's not like he's not playing at a high level. Like, the problem is you never know when the cliff is going to come. And if you are 36, 37, the cliff is not far away. Like, you're about to Thelma Louise that thing at some point. And you just don't know when it's going to show up. Like, you have no idea. So it could happen to Vidal. It could happen to Modric. Maybe there's a 32-year-old midfielder, 31-year-old midfielder lurking around. I just don't know who it is off the top of my head. Like, I just can't. I can't think of the player who's like, okay, maybe his minutes are dwindling. Maybe he'd be looking for that payday. Maybe he'd like to live in LA.
So, what about a Juan Mata?
I mean, if
33 years old.
Okay.
He's cresting. He's definitely past the crest. I mean, past the crest.
Oh, he's on the downside.
But
for
is
sure.
He good enough to be a DP in MLS and make a different, be a difference maker?
Yeah, I think so, probably. I mean, it hasn't been the best couple of years, right, for him in terms of form? I don't know. How much would you pay
him? Morgan's throwing the hat in there for Robert Lewandowski. Sure. He and Chicharito together, I'm sure there's enough shots on the field for both of them.
You know what?
Who's going to give him the ball?
Philip Anschutz doesn't have enough money to get to Robert Lewandowski out of Bayern Munich right now.
He did name Galaxy over at LAFC when he said what team in LA that he would. He's a fan of.
Steve
yes.
says Hamas. Would you take Hamas right now? Hamas is mercurial. He's up and down.
Man, disappears. That's a tough one. I would take 2014 Hamas in a second.
Of course,
you know,
you would.
But
that's what we're talking about.
The guy only lasts like 1 or 2 years everywhere he goes now. I just don't know. Like it's weird. He doesn't stick.
Yeah. Okay. Just
and I don't need a striker. We don't need a striker at Galaxy. You need either a wide player or a midfielder.
There's an interesting
that,
one that came
that one
to
I have thought a number of times.
Alexis Sanchez. Alexis Sanchez, who
35?
33 years old, a little bit younger. Oof. He's at Inter Milan. Oof. Just scored. Oof. Did he score the winner in the Supercopa game?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he did in the 96th minute or 94th minute. Or whatever
I mean,
it was.
You know, yeah. I don't know which. How many?
Alexis Sanchez.
Are you going to get 20 starts out of Alexis Sanchez at this point? I don't know that you are.
I don't know if you are either. I think Vidal is where you spend your money on someone like that.
Yeah. As you said, Mata is interesting because he's not getting minutes. And you could maybe say, hey, we'll give you one last chance to be the guy.
I mean, so. I think for Mata, you could have a very similar trajectory as Donny saw in Orlando. I think not similar players necessarily, but yeah. Styles. But I think you can get about that same level of production
so
from
you get,
Mata.
You get that out of you get a couple years of Juan Mata, and then he goes to Italy and signs up with Venezia and plays there? Because that's what Donny
that
did.
Seems to, that's what Zlatan did as well. So Galaxy or Orlando, you're both good for Serie A spot after you're done with them.
All right. Any other business to get done here? Because we have gone our full length.
I don't think so, man. We need to find out if we're doing a live show for what games or not, but we'll give you guys that information next week. But hopefully we'll be ready to give you guys a live show these qualifiers.
I got
to
figure out what my radio schedule is going to be. So and then we'll talk about live shows around the three qualifiers coming up. I can't believe it's happening again. This is usually when we bring in Nicholas Soup and Salad to tell us if there are any reviews to share.
The Sausage King of Chicago.
Oh, we got all kinds of graphics popping up. Alexi Lalas is not on the phone. People
Sorry
watching the stream. I know there's no reviews. You just gave me the
can we give Nick a moment to just be happy about what happened last night.
We can cross the streams. Let's cross the football streams a little bit. his Manchester United team is not doing what he wants. But the team he's wearing on his shirt right there.
His FC Cincinnati team is not where he wants.
No, not at all. But the Cincinnati Bengals won an NFL playoff game for the first time since 1991.
Since the time of the icky shake.
Not only shuffle.
Shuffle, excuse me. Ooh, wow, that's how long it's been.
Yeah, well, and I'm trying to think, what was I doing in 1991, Jared? I think I was probably listening to Doggy Style when I should. Did they come out in 92? It might come out in 92.
91? What was I doing? Probably listening.
You're a little bit older than me.
Motley Crue. Listening to Motley Crue, Dr. Feelgood.
Okay. I would have been I would have been 12 that year. What was I doing at 12? Playing Little League Baseball? Not in the winter.
Man. I was in fourth grade.
Uh-huh.
Watching a lot of socks. That's what you were doing.
I was probably playing or listening to a lot of MC Hammer.
Oh, and Vanilla Ice. I think Crisscross was probably still big at that moment.
Crisscross was another one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all listening to that. My mom was listening to Wilson
Phillips. I was crushing hard on Paul Abdul. That's what I was doing.
Paul Abdul. It's a good one. I think that was the era of Michael Bolton. I think that was Michael Bolton's time.
Yeah. He was big in the early 90s. Yeah.
Yeah. Dicey.
So yeah, it was a good weekend.
Is that what you were listening to?
No, my mom was listening to Michael
Bolton. I personally wasn't. My mom
Michael
would be
Bolton,
in the car.
Wilson Phillips.
We heard that today on Sirius.
Yeah, all of that. I was thinking, it made me think of Sam Wyche, R.I.P. Sam Wyche.
Oh,
it was the Bengals coach back in the day.
Oh.
And he, once upon a time, I don't know who they were playing. It wasn't Cleveland.
I thought it was Marty Schottenheimer.
Schottenheimer was in Cleveland.
Yes, sir.
He was a Cleveland coach. So Sam Wyche was the Bengals coach at the time. At least this is the way I remember it. I don't know what the timing exactly was. And there was somebody threw something on the field in Cincinnati, and they gave him a microphone, and he was like, you don't live in Cleveland.
Trash.
You don't live in Cleveland. You live in Cincinnati. Stop throwing trash on the field. And it was like, oh, snap. Just that Ohio thing happening right there. All right.
Yeah, he was the best. Rest in peace, Sam.
Anything else you want to share, Mr. Soup and Salad? No? Good. Yeah.
No, it's just a good weekend. My daughter won her softball tournament this weekend. That was awesome. Walk off Grand Slam. So
by her?
Good time. No, but she got a base hit to extend the inning to get it into extra innings. So I was pretty proud of her.
May the spirit of Boomer Esiason run strong for you.
He's alive. He's still alive. He's not dead. Spirit?
He still has spirit.
He can emanate his spirit. Okay, that's enough. Thank you
very
much.
I don't know how your religions work.
By the way, this was an interesting one. Ivan Perisic. Did you take Ivan Perisic right now?
Not over the names we said.
Okay, all right. Anybody want to listen to us talk about some soccer things and some nonsense things, you need to sign up for the Patreon at patreon.com/thebestsoccershow. We get you a bonus show every week. We get you the Slack for the besties, which is rolling right now.
Popping.
All kinds
Popping.
Of stuff happening over there. There's tattoos being shared. I think that's one of the most recent.
I didn't see that. What thread is that in?
Justin threw up his new tattoo.
Oh, I did see that. It was like a 20-sided die or something like that.
Yeah, he went hardcore on his tattoo. So he was sharing that. We got some TV/movie discussion happening in the Nicholas.
Everyone's talking about that Peacemaker show.
Yeah, which is John Cena, which is, I don't know. We got a TikTok. Morgan is destroying on TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
Let me just say that. If you enjoy
American 50,000 views,
American soccer related content, you have to go over to TikTok and follow the Best Soccer Show. We're going to jump on there too. We're going to do some stuff, green screen some stuff, make some stuff happen. We've been having discussions. Also, what else am I missing, Jared? Twitter is the Bestie Soccer. He is there. Instagram.
Yeah, and while you're here on the YouTube page, go ahead and subscribe. Maybe hit the bell so you know every time we go live.
If you're watching on the YouTubes, click the thing where you get the notifications. And then, do all that. Give us likes and all that. I don't know how that works. I do know how that works. I'm sorry. I do know how it works. Go click things.
What?
And stuff happens.
Old man, dude.
No. All right. That's going to do it, right? We're done. We're out of here until we get the roster.
Out.
And then next week, we'll be talking about it. Let's see what Greggy does. Talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Shadow Squad.
Guys, it's the chopper!
Eddie, what have you done for me, Eddie?
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Best friends.
Yep. Who asked those questions?
So feel respect for the Gegner.
Go to DEFCON 2.
I wouldn't be caught dead in a sweater vest.
The horror show. Oh, it's incredible.
Michael freaking Orozco Fiscal.
Zage's own.
Calm down, Greg. It's soccer. It's soccer.
Jay